Well, too often it's just all about me, isn't it? Yeah. Well, church is not about you, and it's not about me. It's about the Lord. And then it's about us collectively. We come today in this third message out of Ephesians 5, 22 to 23, or 33, Jesus and His church. We saw His mystery. Then we saw the holiness of His church. Today we come to look at the membership of the church. So let's find in our Bible, Ephesians 5, we begin reading in verse 22, and we'll read through verse 33. Hear now the word of our great God. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, He Himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her, so that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that He might present to Himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. Verse 30, because we are members of His body, because we are members of His body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined with his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Paul uses the illustration of the husband and the wife coming together, two becoming one, as the backdrop for the church. Christ the head, we the body. We've looked in this passage for the last 2 weeks, and today being the third, seeing first of all that mysterion, the mystery that he spoke about down at the end of this passage. Then he said there would be no spot or wrinkle. We looked at the sanctification or the holiness and how he makes us more like himself. But today we come to look at the makeup of the church, the membership of the church, if you will. In verse 30, we are members of his body. There are three key words that I want us to see. You know, joining the church, becoming a part of the church. That are brought to church young, as I was, we start down there in the preschool area, little babies. Tonight, there'll be babies all across this front. We dedicate children. We've got an absolute revolution going on down in the preschool building. They just sent me a text. It popped up there this morning and said we had 261 down there in that group, and there's three or four teachers that are checking into the psych ward over the local hospital this afternoon. Man, I got kids everywhere. Dr. Criswell, my old mentor at First Dallas, used to say, when you take a baby to the nursery, you ought to pin an offering envelope to their diaper. Well, of course, today we don't pin anything. We stick it, you know, and we don't even give with an offering envelope. Those people down there, they give online. But you get the picture. He's saying you grow up a child, and then one day that child comes to big church. And they start seeing baptism and the Lord's Supper and ask questions, and they're around people and they sing. And then one day when they're 8 or 10 or 14 or whenever, they walk down this aisle. They weren't a church member. They were a member of a connection group, of a preschool. But they become a member of the church when they believe and they are baptized, and then they belong to the family. This morning, I want to talk to you about membership. Many of you have been coming here a long time. You've never joined this church. Today's your day. Many of you have come. You've never been saved, and today's your day. been here looking and worshiping and singing, but you've never done what that lady did with baptism. Today is your day to get ready to do that. Three words I want us to see this morning about membership in the church. The first word is the word believe. Romans 10, 9 and 10 speak to us about that. When Paul says to the church at Rome that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and do what? Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Verse 9, you believe. Verse 10, with the heart a person believes. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God has loved you. He's done his part. Jesus has become flesh. Jesus has gone to the cross. God raised him from the dead. God has done that for you. He sits at the right hand of the Father. He sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin today and of your lostness and your lawlessness and your unrighteousness. And he says, come, be saved. And if you will believe, this text says, if you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. You must, what does it mean to believe? It means to put one's full trust in Jesus, in Jesus alone. Everyone in this room right now, except for me, as best I can tell, you are putting your full faith and trust in a pew. You got all your weight on that pew, and you believe it's going to hold you. When we were over in the old building, there was a pew or two over there that I didn't have faith in. Matter of fact, if I sat down and looked down these two big old boys, I'd move over to the next section. Because I wasn't sure it's going to hold me up. That's what you do when you trust Jesus. You put your full trust in him. Not 90%, not 99%. You put 100% of your trust by faith that Jesus is the one going to take you to heaven when you die and forgive your sin while you are alive. Faith is putting your full trust in Jesus. It's by faith that you repent and you trust Jesus Christ alone. You are going away from God, then you turn and you repent and you go toward God. You believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In faith, you ask Jesus to save you. You say, Lord, save me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, save me. Be merciful. Redeem me. As children, we used to hear the phrase, ask Jesus to come into your heart. Well, we know he doesn't come into your heart. But within your inner man, in your spirit, God save me. Come in and forgive me and fill me and raise me from my spiritual death. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I did that when I was a 10-year-old boy. Somebody said, did you know enough? I knew enough to get, I was lost and need to get saved. I talked last Monday night to a grown man that knew enough he's lost, but he wasn't willing to believe. 2 weeks ago, I talked to another elderly gentleman, and he said, yes, I want to do it. I want to believe on the name of the Lord Christ. Hallelujah. To believe. So this morning, I want us just to stop right here, and here's what I want you to do with me. If you're on your phone, just quit that. If you're fiddling around writing a note, quit that. If you're daydreaming out there somewhere, come back here to me. And here's what I want you to do. I want everybody just to drop your head, bow your head, close your eyes, and I want you to do one of two things. Number one, if you're a saved man or woman, I want you to thank God for saving you. I want you just to thank him, and whoever told you about Jesus, I want you just to thank him that God saved you. And if you are not a Christian right now, I want you to believe. If you're ready to be saved, I want you just, you say, preacher, I wouldn't know what to say. Here's what you say. Lord, I'm a sinner, save me. You have to say it out loud within your spirit. Just say, Lord, save me. If you're ready and the Spirit of God's drawing you and wooing you today, if you're not ready, don't. But if you're ready to be saved, ask him to save you right now. Just say, Lord, save me. In the name of Jesus, say amen. Amen. You have believed, you thank him.
Some of you have believed right now, and at the end of this service, I'm going to ask you to tell me you did that by putting your name on that card and putting it in an offering plate, and I'm going to write you a letter this week, and we're going to get you ready to be baptized, and we're going to help you follow up as you grow as a disciple. If you're going to be a part of the church, number one, you must believe. Second word is baptism. Baptism. If you're going to believe, amen, but then you follow that by baptism. The second step of joining a church is not only to believe, but then to be baptized. Acts 2 and verse 41 says, "So then those who had received his word were baptizo." That day there were added about 3,000 souls. My Lord, wouldn't you like to have been in church that Sunday? 3,000 people. That word baptized, to be placed under the water. First little church I pastored was New Lebanon Baptist Church, and we'd have a few people saved. We'd save them up, and then we'd go down to Sportsman's Lake. If it was in the winter, we'd go over to Macedonia number 2 as the name of the church. It's amazing how Baptists plant churches. There was a Macedonia, and then there was a split, and there was New Macedonia. And then there's another church split, and there was New Macedonia number 2. You know, we have Bethel and New Bethel. My favorite one is Harmony and then New Harmony. This church named Harmony, and we didn't like them, so we started New Harmony over here, all right? Well, we went down to Macedonia number 2, and we'd go in, and their baptistry, you had to open up the floor. You moved the pulpit, and there was a trap door. It always scared me to preach in that church, but they'd move that big deal, and the baptistry was under the pulpit, and they'd fill it up with water, and then you'd walk down into that through steps, and you'd baptize people right underneath the pulpit. I love that. That was in the winter. But in the summertime, we went to Sportsman's Lake. The first time that I ever baptized anybody at Sportsman's Lake. I'll never forget it. I'm a young 20-something-year-old college student pastoring a church. They hadn't baptized many people, and folks started getting saved, and the Martin boys got saved. And so we went down to Sportsman's Lake, and I put on my jeans. And just before I started in the water, one of the deacons said, "Whoa, preacher." I said, "What?" And he brought out a cane fishing pole. And he started beating the top of the water. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, we just always like to make sure all the snakes move out before we baptize." I said, "Well, if you was a real servant and a man of God, you'd have gone in there and give me the pole and let you go in. I'd beat the water, all right?" Oh, baptism. You know, we'd put those people under. I always liked baptizing in a creek or especially a lake. If you had a great big person, you could just move out a little deeper, and it was easier. If you had little people, you move in where it's shallow. And it's just, you know, here, you just got one size fits all. Baptism. Why be baptized? Well, the Bible commands it. You saw that lady. That you should believe and be baptizo, to dip. What in the world is that? Well, baptism is a picture. It's a drama that we like to see here every service. It pictures our Lord's work for us. Jesus died, and they put him in a tomb. And when you go under the water, you're placed like in a grave. And then you come out, it's like he rose. He died and he rose. It pictures the work of Christ in his death and resurrection. Baptism is our identity with him. We're saying we die to ourselves, and we're raised to walk in newness of life. Baptism is our public unashamed, demonstrated love for Christ. We identify with Jesus. Jesus was baptized by immersion. That's the way I wanted to be baptized. Now, some of you sit in this room today and you'd join this church, except you'd have to be baptized because you were sprinkled as an infant. I'm not throwing rocks at that, but let me tell you, that is not New Testament baptism. Baptism is not something your parents do for you. It's something you do to honor Christ yourself. And if you can't remember your baptism, then you need to take a step and say, "I'm ready to take my stand and be baptized." After the early service, one of our sweet choir members, Brother John, an older lady. So how old was she? She's older than me. All right, that's enough. She came to me. She said, "Pastor, I want to tell you a story." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "I've been coming to this church for years." She said, "I was sprinkled as an infant, but I came. I was in the choir. I was here. I just love this church." But she said, "You know, a few years ago, I just decided, well, it's time. And She said, I walked down. She said, you imagine a woman my age being baptized all these years later. She said, but I wanted to be a part of the church, so I did it. And she said this to me, Brother John. She said, Pastor, I've never done this before in my life. She said, I was baptized on a Sunday night. The next morning, she said, I woke up, and she said, I'd never do this, but she said, I sat up in the bed, and she said, even before I could think, coming out of my mouth was the song, Sweet, Sweet Spirit. And she said, I'll tell you, I believe that God honored my obedience and put a song within my spirit that I had never had before. And I didn't ask her if I could tell that. I just stole it straight out. And I'm not promising you that God will give you a song. But I'm promising you this. There'll be the sweet trust and calm assurance of obedience when you walk as God tells you to walk. And that you are baptized in a public, unashamed demonstration of your love for Christ. And you need to set that time. You could do it tonight. You can do it next Sunday. You might want to bring your family. It'd be a great time. Bring all your family to say, we're going to do that, and to come and be baptized. I never forget that little girl. She's now a grown woman, has kids of her own. That when I baptized her at New Lebanon, way back there in that first church when I was a college kid, she asked me this question, Pastor, how long are you going to keep me under there? Well, I said, just that long, just under the water and raise you up. Now, there's some of you that I keep under just a little longer. I've never known anybody to die being baptized, but I've known many to be scared almost to death. But when they come out of there, walking in obedience, it's a joyful day. Amen. How do you join a church? You believe. How do you join a church? You baptize. There's a third word. Not only do we believe and that we're baptized, but then we belong. We belong. Belonging is the third word that I want you to see. We belong to the church. Hebrews 10 and verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. As you see the day of the Lord coming, you ought to be worshiping more and more and more and more. We cut out services, but the closer we get to the coming of God, the more we ought to be getting together, assembling ourselves together and belonging. That means that you should move your letter. That's what Baptists call it. We move our letter. Some of you have come here from Atlanta and you need to move your letter to Olive. Some of you have come here from Dallas and you need to move your letter. Some of you from Orlando, you move your letter. Some of you from Shamukla, you need to move your letter. Your membership. Where does that come from? In the Word of God, in the book of Acts, we find moving your letter. It's in the book of Acts, chapter 18. Look with me. Right here in Acts 18, we're talking about Apollos. And in Acts, Luke wrote it, chapter 18, verse 24, the Bible says, now a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus. He was mighty in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. Now, he had not been baptized in Jesus' name. He was following John the Baptist and had become a great spokesman with the scriptures. And he began in verse 26 to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Let me tell you what happened there is he was baptized in Jesus' name. He'd been baptized in John's name. Now he's baptized in Jesus' name and he understood all of Christ. And when he wanted to go across to Achaia, or Ahaia, I'm sorry, the sea is silent. We want to go to Ahaia. The brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples. There it is. They wrote a letter. They wrote a letter to the disciples to welcome him. And when he had arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he was powerfully refuting the Jews in public, demonstrating by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Apollos was in Ephesus, and he moved by a letter from the brethren to Corinth. Corinth is the capital of Achaia. So he moved from Ephesus to Corinth, from the church at Ephesus to the church at Corinth, and they wrote a letter, and he moved his letter, and Baptists have used that. If you come join our church today from XYZ Church, we will write a letter to XYZ, and XYZ will write us back, and you will move your letter. That's the way that works. You put your membership here in this church. So, well, preach, it's not important. Oh, yes, it is. It's important that you let her in and let her out from where you were. Now, when you find people, they say, oh, you know, I was saved and buried up or married up in the country, and I'm going to be buried up there in the country. And so I've moved to town, but I'm going to leave my membership up there. Why? Your kids are going to come here. Why would you do that? Well, it's sentiment. I'm just a sentimental person. I go back up there to dinner on the ground once a year. Yeah, but you're working here 45, 50 weeks a year. Why should you move your letter? Let me give you four reasons you ought to do it today. Number one, you ought to join Olive for your own sake. For your own sake. You get the word here, the water of the word comes to you, you fellowship here, you have growth here. You ought to unite with the church because, you see, for your own sake keeps you accountable to a local church. Yesterday I was burning some trash. I keep a pile going out there in my burning pit, and when these storms come through and limbs fall out, and so I decided to burn yesterday, and I did, and I set it on fire, went about doing some other stuff. When I came back out, there was a big limb about like my arm had rolled out of the fire pit over here on the grass, burnt the grass a little bit. The rest of the fire was just a going, and I went over there and I looked at it and I just reached down and picked it up. It didn't bother me. It was cold. Why had it gotten cold? It had gotten away from the fire. I said, Lord, I've used this illustration before, but I've just never really seen it like that. You see, what happens is if you don't link your life with a family, you'll just get isolated, and there'll be times you get cold over here. You ought to join a church for your own sake because you need it. It'll keep you accountable. It'll help you grow. There'll be fellowship. We've got this isolationist mentality. I have people tell me, oh, you know, preacher, I can worship just as well on the riverbank fishing or up in the deer stand. That's a lie from hell. The Bible says where two or three are together, there he is in their midst. And deer and fish don't get saved. Matter of fact, if those fish is full of the Holy Ghost, they'd be jumping in your boat. You wouldn't have to catch them. Now, all of us need those times. We get away, and I do that. But let me tell you, what you need is the fellowship of a local church. You ought to join this church for your own sake. Number two, you ought to join it for the church's sake. For the church's sake, yes, sir, we need you. Olive needs you. We need you to encourage us. We need you to serve alongside of us. We need you to help support the mission that we do. This church needs you. I have people, they'll say to me from time to time, well, you know, Pastor, that's a large church and they really don't need me. Oh, yes, we do. The larger our responsibility, the more people we need to carry out the responsibility. So we need you. We need you. We need you to be a part for your own sake, yes, but for the church's sake. To come and say, I'm going to be a part, and I'm going to do my part as I encourage others and support and serve. Number three, not only for your own sake and for the church's sake, you ought to do it for your family's sake. For your family's sake, yes. See, some of you have got those little kids down there in the preschool, but your membership's still off open under somewhere in a country church in another town. And these kids are going to come down this aisle, and they're going to get saved, and they're going to be baptized, and they're going to join this church. And they're going to say, Mom and Daddy, are you member at Olive? And you're going to say, no, we're still up at Mount Hebron. Well, why don't you join here? Well, you know, you're going to teach your kids that it's not important to be involved where they are. You ought to do it for your family's sake. Get all together. Because, see, the way you do it is you move from one to the next to the next. I shared John Tyner's brother Justin today's his birthday. Saw it on Facebook this morning. His mama Joy had pictures talking about her little baby boy. And now they used to bring him to church here. And he's a baby boy. He got saved here, grew up. And I posted on it. I said, you never know when you're raising a deacon. Never know when you're raising the next minister of music at Olive Baptist Church. And so Joy raised that boy, and now he's a deacon here. And now he's got kids of his own, and those kids will come, and they'll link, and it'll be generation after generation. They stay here, but you may move, and wherever you go, you need to put your life in that church. And you do it for your family's sake. It teaches when you're a part of the family of God. I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in it. We don't even need John Tyner. I'm telling you, we just... It's the family. It's the family of God. It's who we are. Amen? We come together. That was the first time we'd ever rehearsed that right here in an 11 o'clock service. You ought to join for your own sake, for the church's sake, for your family's sake. Do you know when you go to California and you fly to California, you'll fly across the Rocky Mountains. And anytime you fly, you'll look down if it's a clear day and you'll see those mountains have got white on them. And you think that's snow, but it's not. That's all the Southern Baptists that have flown to California and over the Rocky Mountains. They've thrown out their church letter and that's all scattered across those mountains. And they've gone to California never to be a part of the church again. Friend, you ought to take your membership with you and put it where it needs to be and be a part of a church. I'm not talking about perfection. As long as I'm the pastor and JT's the deacon chairman and John's the minister of music, it's not going to be a perfect church. Amen? No. We're not talking perfection. We're talking obedience to the Lamb of God. You ought to do it for your own sake, for the church's sake. You ought to do it for the family's sake. You ought to join this church for Jesus' sake. Jesus loves the church. You know, when you read this book, he talks about he's going to build his church and the gates of hell not prevail against it. But when people begin to write letters, they write it to the church at Corinth, to the church at Ephesus, the church at Colossae, to the church at Philippi, to the church at Laodicea. It's the local church. If we were in his day, he'd write a church to Olive. Jesus loves his church, loves his local church. You ought to love the church universal, but you ought to love the church local, and you ought to honor the Lord Jesus. Just for Jesus' sake, you ought to be a part of the church, to make his name known, to honor him, and invite your friends to your church. I went to the zoo on Thursday. Liz and myself and Rachel and the two grandgirls. We were not 30 paces inside the zoo. And one of the ladies that feeds the monkeys looked right at me and she said, "You are a famous person on television." I said, "No, ma'am, I'm just here to feed the monkeys. That's all. She said, "I watch you on that television. I can't always come because I have to work a lot on that, but I watch you on that TV." Do you know, friend, she may watch me, but she's listening to you. Because this is our ministry. This is Olive. That goes forth across this Gulf Coast. I can't do that by myself. You need, for the community's sake, for the ministry's sake, you ought to be a part of a local church. Now, this morning I handed you a card when you came in here. You got one, and on the bottom of that is a tear-off. And if you're here today and you want to join Olive Baptist Church, I want you to fill that out. On the front of the card now, I need your name and your address.
Tell me, Mr. or Mrs., Reverend, Doctor, married, single, phone, email, birth date. Fill that out. Then on the flip side of that card, I need you to tell me about your decision. I want to become a Christian. You say, I prayed with you today, Pastor. Check that circle. Let me know that you did that. You say, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized, and I'm ready to do it. Check that baptismal circle. Then you say, I want to move my membership. I want to move my letter. Right there, I want to join Olive. I'm transferring my membership from XYZ, whatever the name of that church is. 25 years ago, I filled out a card like this, and I'm coming from Orchard Hills Baptist Church, Garland, Texas. We'll write them a letter right back. Now, some of you are coming from a Presbyterian church. They normally don't grant a membership, and so you'll come by statement of faith. You just write down, I'm a member of XYZ Presbyterian. That's fine. We'll understand that. We'll receive you by statement of your faith. You've stated you've trusted Christ, been baptized by immersion, and we receive you into our family. I've been baptized. Tell us where that was. So you fill out both sides of that card. When you finish with it, just tear it off right like that. And when we put our offering in the offering plate, you just drop that card in the offering plate. Tell me what you want to do. Then I'm going to write you a letter myself this week. I'm going to write it, sign it to everybody that fills that out, and I'm going to follow up with you about your commitment, saying welcome or ready to be baptized or tell us a little more or something that we may need to get. We'll follow up with you. May give you a phone call if there's something we got to have immediately, but I'll write every one of you a letter and give that back to you. And if you're ready to make that commitment, today's church day, it's membership day at Olive. It's a good day. I'm amazed at the number of people who come here and have just never crossed that line to say it's my church, Pastor, my church. And if you want to do that today, then be about filling that card out. We're giving you a moment to do it. And in a few minutes, this wonderful group's going to come sing. They're making their way over here to do it. And when they sing this great song, we're going to take our offering. And when we take our offering, we're going to let that offering plate be the receptacle also for your commitment card. And you'll just drop that card right in there. If you're a guest and you fill out a guest registration card, you'll put that in there. But what a great day it is to join Olive Baptist Church. Amen. I got a letter from a lady this week. She's a Methodist. She said, Pastor, you've been talking about it. I'm ready to do it. Maybe she's in this service. I don't know. Hope she'll fill out one of these cards. She said, I'm going to join. If I don't find her card, I'll call her this week, write her, call her, something. Just place that right there. Now, some of you struggle because there's some real ties back to that church where you came from. Some of you may have some family in that church that you think, boy, it'd be. Let me tell you, if your family are really churchmen, they're going to really rejoice with you about finding a church to call home. Amen. Now, I know some of it's a tie, it's a pull to come as you move off. And I remember when my kids went off to college and they were gone. And they said, so, you know, I've never been a church where my daddy wasn't a pastor. They probably grew more then than any other time in their life. They get shed of me, you know. And I don't know what you need to do, but the call of God is in your heart. And you know what you need to be about. So you fill out that card, both sides of it. Let us know and just drop that in the offering plate today. If you've believed on Christ, hallelujah, I sure want to hear from you. If you're ready to be baptized, we're ready to make that happen on this good day. Well, I'm going to pray, and after I pray, our ushers will be ready, and they'll come. Now, don't get up. You don't want to miss this song, buddy. This is good stuff that this wonderful group's going to do, and we'll take our offering, and then we'll conclude our time together. Father, I give you praise. I dedicate every one of these people to you today. For those that have been members the very longest, I pray your favor on them. For those that are taking a step of obedience today to believe, to be baptized, to move their letter, their membership, give them grace to do that that's in their heart of what they want to do. Lord, help them do it because they want to honor the name that's above every name. And we simply dedicate now these people, these commitments, these tithes, and these offerings unto you. And we do it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Gentlemen, you go receive these gifts and place that card right here in the offering plate. John, let's sing unto the Lord.